Okay, go ahead. There's one last nakuda I want to just finish up from last week's shiur. We were talking about the chovel, and then hopefully move on with shem to the next malacha today. So we spoke about the chovel last week. We mentioned that to draw blood is clearly prohibited in the Torah. We weren't exactly sure. The Rishonim weren't exactly sure which malacha it falls under. We said that most probably we're going to go with the down the root of Rabbeinu Tam. It's considered part of the malacha of Sheikh, part of the malacha of Netilas Neshama, Ki Adam Mor Nefesh. They throw in a little bit of blood. That's tantamount to in a sense, the killing, quote unquote, the animal, the person. So there is a question that's presented by some of the later Acharonim, based on this idea that the Isur Chovel is really a function of Ki Adam Mor Nefesh, removing the Dam. Maybe one could argue that the word Dam has a very, very specific halachic connotation. And not everything that runs through the arteries and the veins halachically is considered to be dam for the following reason. We spoke about this in the shiur in the shul earlier in the year, if I'm not mistaken, that we know there's a din hilchos nida that only red blood is considered halachically to be dam, whether it arises from psukim, more comments on the psukim, that you can have things that may be biologically dam, but they're not considered to be halachically problematic, and they're very, very specific. Halacha that govern dam has to be red and has to be very specific shades of red, etc. So the question becomes whether those halachas of insisting that halachically to be blood has to be literally red, is that something that was unique only to Hilchas Nida, or is that a din kol tarkula? I mean, that impacts on Hilchas dam for karbonos, Hilchas dam for the isur eating dam, other areas of halacha dam achshu, etc. There are many dinim that depend on halachic status of dam, because should one argue that only things that are red, and very specific red, only those things are considered to be a dam and halacha. Otherwise, say no, dam and halacha means dam is the blood, blood is blood. The fact that there are specific colors and shades of red that are considered to be dam and hilchos nida, that's a din prati hilchos nida, it's not a din klali and kol tarakula. So if one would take the version that's a din that impacts the kol tarakula, then one can come up with the following fascinating idea. That if I draw out parts of the blood on Shabbos, but not really the red part of the blood. I don't want the red part of the blood. I want the white part of the blood. I want the plasma of the blood. I want the white blood cells. That I'm not the details of the blood, but I want parts of the blood that are not really technically red. So could one argue that my kavana, so to speak, is to get out the plasma? My kavana is to get out the platelets. My kavana is to get out the white blood cells. It happens to be, it's kind of hard to get out one without getting out the other. So maybe one could argue that the fact that I'm also being motzi red blood cells, so maybe that's called like apsigration. Maybe it's like apsigrational nichalei. Maybe that would make it only a derabanan. So that would be a whole other ball game. That would be a whole game changer in terms of drawing blood on Shabbos. Maybe one could argue that if I'm interested in the red part of the blood, that's the malacha derais of chovel. If I'm not interested in the red part of the blood, maybe everything else is all derech psikrashas and ocean scavens and that kind of stuff. So that's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush, and most probably not correct on multiple levels. First of all, this whole Shiva Torah would only make sense if you go down the root of the Tils Neshama. If you don't like the Rambam, that the Yisr of Chovel is to be Seiche, is to be Dosh, is the extracting out, is the squeezing out. So then nothing even get off the ground. Not enough community whether you're squeezing out blood, with these quoted Rambam, the squeezing out of milk is also included in the Yisr of Chovel. So what's the difference when you... But if I'm making a cut to draw out the red blood cells or the white blood cells or the plasma or platelets, what's the difference? That would all consider to be a problem. But if you go down Rabbeinu Tam, if the Yisr is specific to Dam, if you have Dam or Nefesh, so maybe you can argue that's the Mamish, have a halachic status of Dam, maybe whatever's not red doesn't have a halachic status of Dam. It would be a fascinating idea. But again, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's very, very shaky for a few reasons. So first of all, the Chazon Ish, that's a very, very compelling raya from a Gemara in Maseches Bechoros that the din of red is not really a din that impacts kol tarkula dam. A fascinating raya. The Gemara has a discussion in the Yidin Bechoros about why is it permissible to drink milk? Kosher milk, milk from a cow, milk from a goat, milk from a sheep. Why is it mutter to drink it? Why would one think that it's also to drink it? So the Gemara has a variety of reasons why one would have thought it's usher. One of the reasons the Gemara says is because it's called dam nekam and asa cholam. It's a whole sugya that says nida about some of this relationship between the blood and the milk. And again, I'm not getting into the biology, the halacha, whatever that means. But at least according to some opinions in the Gemara, that when you have milk, so the milk is almost like the byproduct of the dam, and maybe it takes on some of the status of the of dam. So if I'm not allowed to eat blood, then perhaps I'm not permitted to drink milk either. So at the end of the day, the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. You can drink milk. It's almost eretz vas, almost vash. It's okay. It's fine. You're allowed to drink milk. But the Gemara spent an omud in Maseches Bechoros trying to figure out why isn't it a problem of dam nekav and aser cholov. So comes the Chazanish and says, why doesn't the Gemara just simply say it's mutter because it's not red? Because by the time it's turned into milk, it's white already. It's not red. So if the halacha is that dam has to be adam, it's got to be mamish red, red, red. And if it's not red, halachli, it loses the status of blood. Why don't the Gemara just simply say it's not blood anymore, even though it's quote unquote biologically slash halachli, it's considered to be an extension, a byproduct of blood, whatever you want to call it. But push comes to shove, it's not red. It should be mutter. It says the Chazanish, you see from here that the requirement of red has nothing to do with the shame dam and other areas of halacha. It's something that was very, very unique to Chazanish and has zero bearing in any other area of halacha. That's the case. And obviously, it would be a moot point. Obviously, this whole kula, so to speak, of drawing blood and thin. I'm not aiming for the red. I'm aiming for the white would be meaningless. Others point out that maybe there's another reason why this kula is not correct. Is that medivar mamurim, you could say that in a sense, the white part of the blood is not called the blood. Even if that's true, that means kozman that it's separated. You threw the blood into a centrifuge and you separated out the different components, and now you have your plasma in one cup and you have your white blood cells in another cup and your red blood cells in another cup, and platelets in another cup. And you can argue, maybe, I'm not even sure you would argue this, but maybe you can argue that only the red part of the blood is considered halachli to be the blood. But kozman, it's all mechubayachad, so then you can't split it up in your eyes and say, no, only this part is. It's one chatif, it's one entity, and therefore you can't split it up and say, this is blood, this is not blood. So again, the whole kula is a very, very shaky kula on many, 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 many grounds. I don't think anybody really, really relies on this kula, but there was such an idea that was floating around in the postkim, and maybe we could be a little bit more makeless. So in blood tests, the goal of the blood test isn't really to check the red blood cells. We couldn't care less about the red blood cells. We want to check the platelets. We want to check the white blood cells. We want to check the plasma, whatever other things we're checking. So maybe there would be a little bit grounds to investigate that through the eyes of a psychiatrist, But again, the whole thing is probably not correct. So back to where we started from. We left off last week, that drawing of blood on Shabbos, testing the blood is a very, very serious problem. It would be probably Malacha Deraisa, and it would be obviously Mutter for Pikuach Nefesh. Some Pikuach Nefesh would be Mutter, but it's absolutely clearly not a Pikuach Nefesh issue, then a Jew definitely should not be involved in the just taking blood tests on Shabbos. If a non-Jew is doing it to a Jew, and the Jew is, stuck in a hospital, and they're drawing blood from you, even in situations where there's clearly no Pikuach Nefesh involved, so the only issue that could come up would be the issue of Messiah, that when you're Tayyim Mikafis, hold your arm in such a way to draw the blood from you. So according to some folks, that would be a problem with Sayyid, because when you're actively physically assisting the Malacha, it's almost like considered to be you participating in the Malacha. But again, even that, many disagreed, the Shach disagreed, and we seem to be a pretty makel about the Shaila. It's not really considered to be the Jew doing it, it's really the non-Jew doing it. The non-Jew is doing it on his own, and or if it's a Chol Sha'im B'Sagon, you're even allowed to ask the non-Jew to do whatever. The bottom line is that most people are in the hospital on Shabbos. So whatever the doctors and nurses do to them, they do, and I don't think one has to be that concerned, as long as you're not actively doing the malach, unless there is some kind of concern. Okay, so that was just the shirayim of last week's shir. Now we begin this week's shir with the new malacha, and that's the malacha of memachek / memareach. So memachek means to scrape away. When they prepared the animal skins for the purpose of the Mishkan, so they had to clean them up, so they have to scrape them down and clean them off. So that's considered to be a malacha. When you have like a rough kind of a surface, you're trying to scrape away the surface to make it clean and smooth. So that's a malacha deraisa. Then the Gemara speaks about the act called bimareach, where you're not literally scraping away a surface, but you are taking something and almost like forming a surface, like you're making a smooth surface. The Gemara talks about smoothing wax down. You take that plop of wax, and you try to shake the wax a little bit, smooth down the wax a little bit, in order to stuff up holes and things like that. So that would be a malacha of memarech. Marech is a told is a subcategory of the malacha of memachik. So basically, the malacha of memachik, slash marech, speaks to any and every kind of smoothing kinds of surfaces. Whether you're doing it through a scraping motion, whether you're doing it through a smearing motion, those kinds of things are potentially problematic on Shabbat.
Is it a tolda or is it on the?
Well, memachik itself is the av, and then memarech is the tolda.
Okay.
So they're similar to one another. So what do we have practically issues that come up in terms of mamachik slash mereach? We have a lot of potential problems that come up in terms of this malach v'av and its tolda. So there is a big machlokes that we've shown him whether this malach altogether refers to food, whether this applies to food. And this is a theme we've seen many times over, that there are certain malachs in Shabbos that just don't lend themselves to certain kinds of products. Let's say, for example, we spoke about this many times about gidulei karka versus non-gidulei karka. There are certain malachas that only apply to gidulei karka. There are certain malachas that apply even to non-gidulei karka. There are certain malachas that perhaps only apply to non-food items. Something that's a food item, so it just doesn't lend itself. The malacha was so fundamentally different that doesn't apply to foods. So there is a question in the Rishonim whether the malachas of mamachik slash mareach apply to foods altogether. If there was the shemir foods, food in a place or something, to smooth out a food service, would that be a malacha altogether? So there are some Rishonim who say that minat Torah, it wouldn't be a problem, but it may still be a problem in the Rabbanan. What would be the source to suggest that they have to split, that it's not a problem in the Torah, but it is a problem in the Rabbanan? So the Gemara has a discussion about the malacha of ma'abed, that the abed is to work on the skins, like the tanning, to prepare the animal skins in order to use them to make different products. So you can't just shech an animal, skin the animal, and just, you know, turn it into a pair of shoes, or write a sefer Torah on it. You have to work on it first. You have to do ibud oros. Like there's a whole sugya in the Gemara about when you prepare animal skins for sefer Torah, or you prepare the leather to, you know, the bottom for the animal skins to be able to make bata betfilin for tzuos. So you have to first be ma'abed the oros. So the sugya in the Gemara about ibud oros lishma. When you do an ibud for sefer Torah, you have to do the process lishma l'shem kedusha sefer Torah l'shem tzuos, etc. We spoke about this in the past that in the Middle Ages there was a big problem because the tanning industries were controlled by the non-Jews, like all the other crafts in Europe, or at least have the guild system during, you know, back in the feudalism days, you know, they had the guild systems. That you had to, in order to be able to be involved in any kind of a real craft, if you wanted to be a shoemaker, you had to be part of the shoemaker's union. If you wanted to be a blacksmith, you had to be part of the blacksmith's union. So one of the usually prerequisites to join a union, join these guilds, you had to be not Jewish, basically. That was it. You had to be part of the church. So that pretty much disqualified all of Israel. So we had situations in Europe where the Jews weren't allowed legally. They weren't allowed. It wasn't practical to do certain kinds of crafts. So you had this big problem in the Ashkenazi communities in Europe in the Middle Ages. The Jews weren't allowed to do the ibud oros. So the tanners had to be a goyim, had to be a Christian, had to be a tanner. So the whole problem arises about how are you going to do ibud or? Doesn't ibud or have to be done lishma? Not do lishma. The whole discussion you're shown and developed about the finances, how to do it, about Yisrael and Agabah, does it work, does it not work, etc. So this is all to make sure the Ibud is done properly. So Ibud is something that's obviously done in order to prepare the animal skins to be fit for use. So the Abed is one of the Lamates Malachas. So the part of the process of tanning is that they would actually salt the skin. Yeah, I'm not holding in the details of tanning skins, but part of the process was they would put it like in a salt kind of a solution. So the Gemara raises the question about what if a person takes foods, not animal skins, take foods and soaks them in salt water. Is that considered to be like the malach of the abed? The Gemara quotes one opinion that says, yeah, that would be a problem, abed. That would be a salt. The Gemara talks about salting meat. If you salt meat really, really significantly, let's say if you want to prepare like meat to take on a long journey, you know, isn't that like what beef jerky is? Is that what it is? I'm not sure. I'm not a big fan of it. My wife doesn't let me get anywhere near it. But I think like the old days, they used to take beef on the meat on the ships, so they would salt a tremendous amount of salt to preserve it. The Gemara talks about that. So the Gemara says that kind of salting, according to one opinion, the Gemara was malacha deraisa ma'abed. And then the Gemara says, no, that's not called a malacha deraisa ma'abed, because ain't ibud ba'ichlin. The malacha of ibud doesn't apply to foods. The ibud was on animal skins, tanning, hides, etc. The foods are different entities, different things like abre. So even though it's not a malacha deraisa ibud, it may very well be a malacha derabon, it may still be an issim derabon. There are some Gemaras and Shabbos that seem to indicate certain saltings of certain kinds of foods may be problematic on the level of the Rabbanan because it looks a little bit like Ibud. Somebody should borrow that bottle to other malachas related to animal skin, such as mamachik. just as Ibud was the original malacha was done on the skins, and in Atar, it's not a problem on foods, but with the Rabbanan, it is a problem. So too, when it comes to Mamachik, Svesh B'mareach, in Atar, it's not a problem on foods, but maybe with the Rabbanan, it would be a problem. Some Rishonim said, you have to be careful, you want to smear foods. So that could be a problem. If you make the smooth surface of the foods, that could be a problem. So some Rishonim write that one of your intent is not to smear the food in the sense of making a nice clean surface. Your goal is not because I have a big jar of peanut butter. My goal is not to make a smooth surface of peanut butter. That's not really what my goal is. My goal is I want to have a peanut butter sandwich. So Terrence says, if I don't smooth out the peanut butter, it's going to be a very clumpy sandwich. I'm going to have one big plop of peanut butter in the middle of the bread, and then the rest of the bread is going to be empty, so it's not going to taste so good. So that's what the poskim write. That's okay. That's not really called a barech, because I'm not interested really in making a smooth surface. If my goal is I want to make a beautiful, nice, you know, smooth surface of peanut butter from across the, you know, so I'm not sure what I would do with a smooth surface of peanut butter, but if my goal is not really to eat it, so for some other reasons, that would be a problem. My goal is just simply to make a convenient, nice, tasty-looking sandwich. So that would be okay. That's what we usually assume, halacha, that most people, we shmir our chumos on our challahs on Shabbos. We shmir our egg salad on our tuna fish, whatever different things. We take a knife, we shmir on our bread. We assume that's not considered to be a problem of the marech. So again, some claim maybe there's no marech altogether in Oakland, even if there is, but there are abundant. But under these circumstances, it probably wouldn't pose a problem. There are certain other applications of Mimareach that potentially come up. One of the common shilas that's discussed is the issue relating to soap, about using a bar of soap on Shabbos. So is that considered to be like the malacha of Mimache? Because I'm trying to, I'm taking a rougher surface and I'm kind of smoothing off it every time I rub the bar of soap. So I'm smoothing the surface of the soap a little bit. So this was a big machlokes in Europe already. The earlier poskim, hundreds of years ago, already discussed the issue of using soap on Shabbos. So there were two issues that the poskim raised about using soap on Shabbos. One was the issue of b'machik / b'mareach, that I'm smoothing off the bar of the soap. And the other issue was a totally unrelated issue, was the issue of moilin, that when I'm using a solid bar of soap, so then by exposing it to water and rubbing it around, so I'm going to be turning it into a liquid. So I'm taking a solid, I'm turning it into a liquid. Maybe that poses the problem of molin, that I'm bringing in something new into existence. It used to be in this state, and now it's in a different state. So that's a throwback to a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, which is a big machlekes. We should not even understand the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Maraskin as a Shelag, and Sabora. The Gemara says you're not allowed to crush ice or crush snow on Shabbos in order to get it to become water. That's a problem. So why exactly is that a problem? So that was a big machlekes we showed him. So Rashi says the reason why that's a problem is that because it's molded of a chadosh, that you're creating something new. It used to be a solid ice, and now it's being turned into a liquid water. That's a problem, though. We all know from chemistry 101 that H2O is the same, whether it's a gas, liquid, or solid, it's all the same chemical bonds. But nevertheless, physically, it's different. One's a solid, one's a liquid. They behave, they look, they act differently. So whenever you take a solid and turn it into a liquid, that raises the problem of molad of a chadash and Shabbos. What's the grandiose malacha about the molad of a chadash? Rashi writes, there's no malacha. It's just the Rabban, it doesn't look right. It's Dori de Bechadosh. And at Shabbos, we commemorate the Kodesh Baruch Hu was Shabbos Be'am HaShvi, stop creating things. So when we create new things, that's a problem. So if we do malachas, that's the Sask Malacha. If we don't do malachas, but we create, in a sense, nothing that we ever create is Yesh Me'ayin. We don't have the Klech to create Yesh Me'ayin. Everything we create is coming from something else. But since we are forming and creating, in a sense, something new. So maybe that would pose a problem on a level of the Rabbanan. So Rashi says that's the reason why you can't crush ice on Shabbos. That's someone wanted to extrapolate and say, well, you're not allowed to crush ice on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to use the bar of soap on Shabbos either, because you're taking the solid bar and you're turning it to liquid. Now it's a liquidy, watery, soapy kind of a mixture. So that would be a problem with Molad Nebuchadnezzar. So the truth to be told is that not everybody even agrees that that's the reason why you can't crush ice. The Rambam writes that you can't crush ice on Shabbos because it looks a little bit like Schitas Peiros. It gives off the impression it's almost like squeezing out fruit or something. So maybe that concern wouldn't appear, wouldn't apply necessarily to soap. Maybe we know. We should have other reasons about the crushing of the ice. So we're not 100% sure that there's an issue of molad of a chadash altogether in terms of using soap. And again, there were two different concerns that the poskim raised about using soap on Shabbos. One was the issue of smoothing out the surface of the soap, but the other was the issue of being molid the mechadash. Now one can extend that question and say, well, either of these concerns even exist, but say one's using liquid soap. So it's hard to understand why any of these things should be problematic if one's using liquid soap, because what's the memarech? There's no surface. There's nothing there. So you're not smoothing out anything. What's the molid of a chodesh? It was a liquid. It's vital liquid. It continued to be a liquid. So what's the problem? So that's what many folks were of the opinion, that whatever concerns existed back in 300-400 years ago, when the earlier poskim started to ask using the bars of soap and Shabbos, one could argue that neither of those concerns apply when you're dealing with liquid soap. That's what many follow, and most shuls follow that. They have liquid soap dispensers. People use them on Shabbos. I think that was what most people do follow. However, it's interesting to note that Rav Moshe was very, very machmir. So Rav Moshe happened to be extremely machmir on the use of liquid soap on Shabbos. Rav Moshe held that it's still potentially a problem of memareach. Again, it's hard to understand. It's so liquidy. It's hard to understand what the problem is. And Rav Moshe had some concern of even using liquid soap on Shabbos. There was some who refrained from using liquid soap in deference to the view of Rav Moshe, but again, many, many others, probably most, were a little bit more lenient about that. One could then go back to the question and reevaluate whether there's even really a concern even with the salad bars or so. Not 100% sure that even the salad bars or so are problematic. So some of the later poskim point out that we're not exactly sure what the bars or so looked like in the back of the 1600s when the early Acharonim started to answer them. But we do know what our bars of so look like now. Our bars of soap are very, very soft, very, very smooth. You open up your bar of ivory soap, it's your Dove soap, it's very, very smooth. It's not like it doesn't have rough edges to it. It's not like it doesn't have like a piece of leather that has to be rubbed down and smoothed out. It's extremely smooth. So I'm not really doing anything. I'm taking a smooth surface and making it the same smooth. I'm changing the surface a little bit. I'm taking a little bit away from the soap, but I'm not really changing anything. It's the base, it's the same soap. So Manishtana said, it's like when I take a bath with the soap, instead of having a big bar of soap, so I cut it in half. That's not the mach. So the way our soaps are now, that they're not really so rough anyway, maybe the whole issue doesn't apply altogether. And we're not 100% sure that we even follow this idea of molad devachadosh, the big machlech is rishayim, whether molad devachadosh is even a problem altogether. So it's for this reason that there are some poskim who raise the serious reservations, whether there's any issue with the soap altogether in Shabbos. We're not even sure there's any issue whatsoever.
Does it come into play any differential because people today are so mufunak that they wash themselves so carefully every single day, so many times a day? Would that have any imprint?
The question is, would we consider that to be more of a shazal chach? That's the question. That's going to get to in a second.
Even without COVID, the derech of a bnei adam over the past 30, 40 years, they wash themselves constantly.
Right. So let's analyze what the halacha should be in terms of medical MC Lemaisa, how it's going to prepare. 100%. So again, so there is a there was a big machlekes poskim whether any of these concerns are real. So again, many poskim hold they were a serious problem. Both of these concerns were real, and therefore they asked at least the salad bars or so. There are others who weren't so convinced that either of the concerns are so problematic. And then there was almost like the conventional wisdom became to split between the bars of soap and contrast and liquid soaps. Again, even that, not everybody accepted that as being with it. So the Sefer Shabbos Kechasa, he takes the approach that we try to avoid using bars of soap. Liquid soap is made, but we try to avoid using bars of soap on Shabbos. However, he writes, if one finds themselves in extenuating circumstances, and one of the examples that he gives, say a doctor, in the hospital, for whatever reason, there's nothing else to wash his hands with, and all there is a bars of that. I don't think it's too practical in the hospitals today. And I think they all, everything is liquid anyway there. But Tim Taloma, that there's some reason why you have to use a bar of soap. So he writes, which has the fact one can be makel to use a bar of soap in shops. I think that the Ikra Din is, like some of the other posts came, all that whatever concerns did or didn't exist in years gone by, many of them may not necessarily be true. So I think it's not that relevant for us in terms of the bars of soap. I mean, when was the last time you went to shul and there's a bar of soap there people 95% of the people don't even use bars of soap in the bath and in the shower anymore. Everyone likes all the liquidy and the body washes and all that kind of stuff. So, but for the old timers are still the bar of soap. So every once in a while, I can still find one stashed away in my house. I mean, most people like bars of soap. So I don't think most people are washing their hands daily with bars of soap. I think most people in their own houses also have the liquid soaps. But if one would really, really be stuck on Shabbos, so then for Shabbos would be made. And even most of us, it's not such a significant shaila. I think that the shaila comes up, as Henry pointed out correctly, you know, especially in today's world, where we're rightfully so much more careful in terms of washing. So our shaila is not even so much about the soaps, our shaila is about the Purells, about the hand sanitizers. So I think that the hand sanitizers, Migra Din, are totally mutter. I think that they're mamish liquid. There's nothing mamish to it altogether. One can even argue that even according to the Machmirim, even according to those like Ramosh, who didn't like the liquids, so maybe the hand sanitizer even less than the liquids. You look in the Tshuva Ramosh, it's a short Tshuva where he seems to his svaras why he asked the liquid soap, which not going to many people agree to, may not even apply to the hand sanitizer. So I think Mikra did the hand sanitizer really mutter legamre. There are some, yes, let's say, they have the Shabbos to hand sanitizers. They have the sprays. The sprays are Eimlichal liquids. They don't have any consistency in them altogether. So those who don't like to use the regular hand sanitizer on Shabbos, so some people who use the sprays on Shabbos instead. I think when we spoke about this way, way back, there was someone who wanted to ask the sprays for another reason. They thought it was a problem Zorah of throwing things to the wind. They wanted to argue that when you spray the hand sanitizers, so it may be a shadow Zora. I think if I'm not mistaken, we even brought in a hand sanitizer for a display. It was back about 2 years ago. We saw the news for Shabbos. I brought in a hand sanitizer to show why I thought that wasn't a valid chumra. I thought that for a variety of reasons. I thought that the spray hand sanitizer, mamash mut l'chatchila shel l'chatchila. So whatever it is, those who use those, it's the regular ones, everyone should just make sure you have the clean. What's the point? Anyway, back to that story. So we have a few other things that come up, some common shaylas that come up in terms of the machik slash the mareach. Probably the most famous example is the issue of brushing teeth on Shabbos. So there are a variety of crossing the spectrum of issues in the Shabbos that come up in terms of brushing teeth on Shabbos. One, sometimes like, you know, someone will ask me very three mistakes. So Rabbi, you're allowed to brush your teeth on Shabbos. So my answer usually is that according to some poskim, there are five potential problems. According to other poskim, there are no problems. According to some poskim, there are in between about the problems. So you name your sheet that you want. Any issue that will raise about brushing teeth, I'll share that there are others that disagree and say that's mutter. Again, yes, there are different opinions in the Gedolei HaPoskim about brushing teeth. So one of the potentially more serious issues of brushing teeth is the issue of the mareach, and that's the issue of smoothing out the toothpaste. You're taking the toothpaste and smearing the toothpaste all around and smoothing out the toothpaste on your teeth, maybe that's considered to be a problem. So when this originally Pesach was given by Rabbi Moshe, Moshe was a few chumras in this malacha. So when Rabbi Moshe originally was the Rosh HaMachmirim against the brushing teeth on Shabbos, so there was somewhat of a humorous story that came out. Rabbi Moshe asked in the tshuva, you're not allowed to brush your teeth because it was a concern of the marech. So apparently one of the Tamidim of the Rav came to the Rav and asked him whether you're allowed to use toothpaste on Shabbos. The Rav said yes. So he asked the Rav. Rav Moshe said it was a problem of mamachek. So the Rav thought that Rav Moshe thought that it was also because you're smoothing out your tooth. By brushing your teeth, so you're scraping away the tooth and you're changing the surface of the tooth. So he thought it was mamash like mamachek. Remember we said mamachek is when you mamash scrape away at something, and mamareth, when you just smear the surface with an ointment or something. So originally the Rav thought that Rav Moshe asked brushing teeth because you're scraping away your teeth and changing the surface, the level on your teeth. But the way the story goes is that the Rav responded to that Talmud and he said, if Rav Moshe is right, then after you brush your teeth 20 times, you wouldn't have a tooth left. That was his response. So then the Talmud came back to the Rav and said, no, that wasn't where Rav Moshe asked it. He didn't think it was just scraping away the tooth. He asked it because you're forming a coating with the toothpaste. You're making a smearing on the toothpaste. So the Rav thought about it for a second and said, that's where Rav Moshe asked it. So it's also not right. Why? Because that's not called mareach, because you're just brushing your teeth, you're putting the toothpaste on, and you're spitting it right out. So mareach means that you're, like the Gemara talks about at the end of the Shabbos, a few days with Afyemi, so the Gemara talks about mareach by wax in a barrel. You know, so I have a barrel and hold it on the barrel. You're trying to coat the barrel with wax. So you just mush the, smooth out, and you mush around the surface of the wax into the crack. You know, nooks and crannies, cracks and crevices of the barrel. So that would be a problem of the mareach, because you want that waxy material to be there, to mamash stay there. So it's like lamashal. Some people have the shaila on their braces. Sometimes when they, I'm not holding the nuance, is a I mean, I'm still holding in the, still holding for the end game of the braces. But my youngest is already ready to brace the rough resin. We're still for those follow up orthodontists to visits, but we're not in that heart and soul when you're going three times a week for every single kid. We've been there, done that, but we're at the tail end of that at this point of our parenthood. So I remember at one point there was the issue of putting wax in certain parts of the braces. And we'll talk about it against, I think, to protect certain things from cutting against the skin. So there was a whole shiloh about, are you allowed to like maneuver that wax and push that wax in on Shabbos? I got very weary about that. That's the Gemara. That's the one malach of their ice. That's what the Gemara says, Mareach Mamish. So I got very weary about playing around with the wax. I don't know, maybe any dentist on who can share some insight about that? Anyone? I'm looking at the list. I don't see any dentists here offhand. No? Okay. Anyone's about a lot of kids and by orthodontists? Yeah. If I have something to say about this, anyone's anything to share about the wax and the braces? Okay, we'll leave it at that. So so when it comes to brushing your teeth, so the Rav said that you just brush your teeth and you're spitting out the Colgate a second later. That's not Mimarech altogether. So the bottom line is when Moshe asked for the toothpaste, and the Rav thought it was okay because it's not really keeping the stain there, etc. Now, the toothpaste was really only one of the issues related to brushing teeth. There are a whole host of other potential problems. There were issues, some raised the red flag about schita. You're squeezing out the bristles when you wet the toothbrush, you press against your mouth. So maybe that's called schita on the toothbrush. So that's very, very questionable because the Gemara says ain't schita b'seyer, and even though there is a problem schita b'seyer, it could be less than seyer. The water is probably not really absorbed in these plastic bristles. So that was also a very, very big question. Then there were those who had issues with the brushing of teeth because they thought it was a shal chigel, that we spoke about earlier. That they thought that there's a psychration that the person is going to bleed when they brush their teeth. So the dentist responds, well, if you take care of your teeth, you won't bleed every time. You don't take care of your teeth, and you brush your teeth and once a week on Shabbos, then you're going to have a problem and your gums are going to bleed. But if you floss and brush your teeth like you're supposed to, then you're probably not going to be a psychration. So the HVH, different opinions in terms of that. Then yet, there are those who had Shas Vachana, and you wash off the toothbrush at the end of the brushing of the teeth. Maybe that's a problem of achoni, prepare the toothbrush for tomorrow. One could argue that that's not really called achona, because that's not really called achoni. You're doing it to prevent the bacteria from sitting on the toothbrush, going to ruin the toothbrush. I remember years ago, Rabbi Willie was giving a shiur once, and he was talking about washing off the toothbrush after you're brushing your teeth. Is that called achona or not? So I remember one then, so he raised the question. He said, what would happen if you didn't wash off your toothbrush? Would the toothbrush get ruined? Would the bacteria, collect on the toothbrush? Would it be bad, or just ugly? So he raised the question: Is it dentally bad or not? So remember, there was one dentist raised at the end and said, it's nonsense. No, nothing's going to happen to anything. Before. The other dentist says, no. He said it's going to ruin your toothbrush. It's going to get bacteria. It's going to get into dentures. They're not helping. Machlek is a dentist, so whether it's a chon or not, to wash off your toothbrush. Again, Yeshua, every single shayla that comes up with brushing teeth, or some will say it's also something that's one of the issues involved is the issue of Mimarech. Those who want to avoid the issue of Mimarech, so they use a liquid toothpaste, the Israeli, the little green, triangle, Israeli stuff that a lot of people use. So you use that, that'll be less of a Mimarech problem. It doesn't solve all the other problems, but it'll mitigate the Mimarech problem. The HVA. So bottom line is those who have a tradition, yes, I mean with the rub, and those who have such a necessary to brush teeth, the Shabbos, I can't say it's also those who refrain from brushing teeth, use other kinds of mouthwashes or liquid toothpaste, other things. Everyone should be talking like a bracha, everyone's teeth should be healthy, everyone should be healthy, everyone should get brachas. There are different opinions as to the actual using of the toothpaste or some other issues related to the brushing of the teeth. There are other issues that come up in terms of other kinds of creams on Shabbos. Anytime you want to apply a cream on Shabbos, so that's also a potential issue of Mimarech, also smearing the cream into place. So that's a big question. Is there any way to do that there ahead there? So a lot of poskim say that a person needs a cream on Shabbos. There are really always two issues. There's always the issue of refuah, and then there's an issue of Mimarech. The refuah issue, you have to go down the regular route of the refuah. It's something that the person is a cholish ein b'sakana, even though his life is not at risk, but it's normal Maybe he got some, you know, serious skin thing. He has to put something on. Otherwise, he's so uncomfortable he can't function properly. Or sometimes you have antibiotic creams that would be probably permissible based on issues of refuah. How do you get around the memorial problem? So the general mahalach is that this has this, others have this, that you do a keliachayat, do it in an abnormal fashion, so that would be okay. Why is that okay in an abnormal fashion? So according to many, it's based on the idea that when you're dealing with a choil anyway, so a cholish ain besakana, you're generally allowed to do things keliachayat for. Whether you're allowed to do the raises for a keliachayat, that's we spoke about this many times, but at least the rabbanans for sure you can do keliachayat. And the shmiring of the creams is probably not a malacha of the rites anyway, for other reasons. That the real mevarech omor probably has to be a much thicker kind of a consistency, something like a waxy kind of thing. If he's taking a desert ointment or something, it's probably only the rabbanan anyway. So with done keliachayat, it should be okay. So that's generally what we try to do. Whenever you have the situation, maybe diaper cream, you have a salat, you have to put diaper cream on, so you just plop it on. You just plop it onto the diaper and put the diaper on, hope for the best. Or if you really feel you have to rub it in a little bit, rub it back in or something. You try to do things kliachayad. When, again, you have to clear the issue of refuah first, but with the little babies, there wouldn't really be an issue of refuah. Little babies considered to be a cholish ein besakana. And as long as the shmiring is done kliachayad, it would be okay. Folks can discuss that maybe if it's a kind of an application that the mamas, you know, gets absorbed right into the skin. It's not even there altogether. So some are making like that. It's almost like the rubs are in a toothpaste. That when you put on a cream and then the cream is immediately out, either because you're spitting it out or it's absorbed into the skin. So maybe one can argue that's not even a two of the malach altogether. That would be another possible tzad. But a lot of the diaper creams is not true. A lot of diaper creams you put it on the top, sits the next diaper. It's a long time. So you would have to rely on the cools of doing it. So the bottom line is, whenever you're doing any of these kinds of smearing and surfaces, creams and oil, all this kind of stuff at Shabbos, if it's a cream, if it's a mamish liquid, if you turn it over and it pours like a liquid, then it's more good. But if it's something that's a real creamy kind of a thing that's going to make a smooth surface of an ointment or something, then one has to always be careful and try to do these kinds of things. If and when you have a situation of a chayla, so why don't you try to do it to avoid these kinds of problems. Okay? All right, we'll stop here. For mentorship next week, we'll continue.
Okay. No share Tuesday night?
Most probably not Tuesday night. I'll double check. If by some quirk I have like good service where I am, so maybe we'll see. But also, Henry, I think tomorrow morning, I think we're going to have to put an old call about worlds because I think we're leaving much earlier than I expected to. So I think maybe we'll just put call about worlds until Friday, okay?
Okay, so I'm going to cancel tomorrow to Friday.
Yeah, it's against the tomorrow. So it's a Friday morning, hopefully mid show, we should be back.
Enjoy, okay? Have a nice trip, Rebbe.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Good. We'll be in touch. Okay, good. Thank you.